Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be so with the banks. Hell, we fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very excited about having our good friend Walter Kieschel III back on the show. Walter is a former managing editor at Fortune Magazine. He is former editorial director at the Harvard Business Review, the author of a number of books, including a book that's become one of my favorites in the last couple of years, The Lords of Strategy. And I love having Walter on the show because he helps you and me think about something that small business owners don't always think about, and that is strategy. Walter Kieschel, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. We have we're the beneficiaries, Walter, for those of us who are alive today, of being able to look back and gain perspective from 100 great years, a full century of the evolution and the development of what's called modern management, right? What do you think?
Exactly right. I mean, it's interesting if you ever, you or your listeners ever hear Gary Hamel, a famous management guru, talk, he'll typically in his stump speech ask his audience, well, what's the greatest invention of the last 100 years? And somebody in the audience will say antibiotics, and another person will say the airplane, another person will say the internet, and then Hamel will say, yeah, but what made it all possible? And then he'll write the word management up on the whiteboard. I don't know whether that's as true.
I always thought it was. I always thought it was the thermos bottle, but that's another story.
right.
Walter, what? But man, see, when you say that, most people think, well, management. I mean, isn't that as old as humans? Hasn't management been around? I mean, didn't the Phoenicians manage their shipping business? Didn't the Greeks? The Dutch manage their business? I mean, you see what I mean? What do you think?
I do. Well, of course it's true that the people who built the pyramids had their own management systems and things, but if you really look at the literature and study the way that people did business, what you find is that management as a kind of self-conscious activity, as an activity of people saying, oh, that's what we're doing here with this organization. This is a set of practices and processes that we can study and get better at. That's actually not that old. I argue that you can actually date the beginning of the management century, if you really need an exact date or time, to a speech that a guy gave in Chicago in May of 1886, where a man called Henry Towne, who was co-founder of the Yale Law Company, was talking to the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, and he said, you know, there are good engineers and there are good businessmen, but they're not usually the same. And he went on to say that, quote, the management of works, which meant factories or businesses, has become a matter of such great and far-reaching importance as perhaps to justify its classification as also one of the modern arts. So, I mean, the argument that it was only about that time that people began to study management and think about it as a deliberate and conscious activity. And one of the things that I found in looking at the literature of this over the past 100 years is that there are some interesting lessons that I think still can be helpful to businessmen, businesses, and women, large and small.
Could we say that? Yeah, I'm a big fan of and try to learn as much as I can from Adam Smith, from his
right.
Wealth of Nations books. I think about some of his fundamentals all the time, and one of them, of course, that most people know, is the division of labor concept
right.
that he promoted. He wasn't the first to promote it, but he's become the most famous one to promote that. Isn't modern management? Didn't it really emerge as a necessary result of taking division of labor and automating it, automating division of labor? Would that be a good way to say it?
A lot of it did, yes. And Adam Smith had some really terrific and enduring kind of insights into the microeconomics of how businesses work. One of the things that happened in, of course, the 1800s was that organizations started to get larger. The railroads, the American railroads, mm-hmm. is the best example. They pulled the country together in such a way that there could be big companies like Sears and others selling to the national market. And as those companies got larger,
that was part of automation. I mean, Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile; he invented the process of making them, in an assembly line. Hold on to that, Walter. We got to take a quick break, folks. We got to talk some more about what Walter calls the management century after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.